Hello and good day. Hey, welcome to the Super Good Camping Podcast. My name is Pamela.
I'm Tim.
And we are from supergoodcamping.com. We're here because we're on a mission to inspire other families to enjoy camping adventures such as we have with our kids. Today's episode is about paddles, specifically canoe and kayak paddles. Please do listen all the way to the end of the episode for details about a super cool draw that we have coming up in partnership with Portage Pal. And if you want to be in the draw, you're going to have to listen to the end to find out how you can get yourself a Portage paddle for yourself. Let's start with the different parts of a paddle.
All right. For those of you listening to the audio podcast, I don't know, maybe just for a change of pace, pop over and check out our YouTube channel. I'm going to show you parts of the paddle as well as try to explain what is what. So grip is the top of the paddle. It depends on, I'm right-handed. I tend to paddle on the right-hand side of the canoe if I can get away with it. So my left hand is on the grip. The next part would be the shaft. That's the skinny bit in between the grip and the blade. Can I get this on camera? Look at that, the blade. Yeah, so there's two different types of grips, I suppose. There's a palm grip, a la like this one, where your hand sort of wraps, it just sort of fits in your palm, I guess. This is why they call, I don't know, I didn't name it. And then there's a T grip, which is exactly as it sounds. It tends to be a little bit more for whitewater type people. So you can be more precise with your strokes that way. Shaft, two different types of shaft, two different styles of shaft. There's a straight shaft like this one here, or you can get a bent shaft. Just it's a more efficient shaft. It puts the blade more square to, I guess, the force of your paddle stroke. It pushes more water. So it's, some flat water paddlers have a bent shaft, and then a straight shaft is more of a river running type thing, or whitewater again. And then, I should also mention, you can get your shaft can be oval or round. I think most of ours are pretty much round. Sorry, I'm looking around at all our paddles. We have many paddles. Yeah, I think all of ours are round. I want to say that the throat, which is closest to the shaft that's closest to the blade, I want to say that it feels a little more oval there. So I don't know. It's whatever. It feels comfortable in my hand, so I don't care. And then of course the blade itself. This particular one that I'm showing now is one that we got with our old fiberglass Scott canoe. This is more of a, I don't know that I'd say this is a whitewater paddle because they're different now, but this is more of a shallow water paddle. It's got a bit of a hardened end on it, so you don't break it and scratch it up as much, that sort of deal. They come in all kinds of different, this one's a very squared off. I think we have both an otter tail and a beaver tail. Otter tail's a little more rounded towards the bottom of the blade. Beaver tail's a little more narrow. Yeah, whitewaters are sort of short, wide, square tip. Kayak blades tend to be more asymmetrical. And I will show you half of a kayak blade. But you can see it doesn't square off. But because you're tilting out either side of your kayak, or in my case, the solo canoe, when it tips into the water, because of that asymmetrical end on it, it actually squares it up far more when it's in the water. You get better push for each stroke. That's it. Materials.
Cool. And then in terms of what they're made of, ours are, for the canoe, they're wood paddles. So flat water canoeing, they'd be either solid or laminated wood, and often they're cherry, maple, or walnut. And excuse me, in terms of other materials that could be used for white water or river paddling and kayakers, they might be aluminum, plastic, fiberglass, and or carbon.
Yeah, they can be, when you get into kayak paddles, or which is a bit of a misnomer, they are kayak paddles, but a lot of solo, like smaller canoe, we use kayak paddles to do those. I've seen aluminum ones, nice and light, a little cold on your hands in the spring or in the fall. This, mine is carbon. No, sorry, fiberglass. It fit my price range. It keeps it light, keeps it strong, but And I can also, mine is adjustable. We'll talk about sizing shortly, but I can vary the length of my paddle, and two blades, I guess, is also a thing for the kayak paddles. Out each side. Yeah. And which works really well for the solo too. Like I can get honking in the little canoe.
Yeah. So efficiency wise, you've got a stroke on each side of the kayak or canoe.
Yep.
Cool.
There you go. Sizing. So it's important for your comfort and for getting the most propulsion, I guess, out of each stroke. I mean, if you're just farting around, probably not such a big deal, but if you're actually doing you're out on a canoe trip or whatever, making sure you've got the right size paddle is important. There are two different ways that I know of to do it. You can, so if you kneel down and then lower your butt to about maybe 6 inches off the floor, take the paddle, put it grip down. That's the upper part. So the blade's up in the air. The throat, that part I talked about briefly earlier, basically where the shaft and the blade meet, the throat should be somewhere between your chin and your nose. That's the idea behind it. You can also take it, put it up in the air, and again, grabbing the throat and also the grip. If your arms, see, this is a bit long for me. Nah, it's not too bad, I guess.
So 90 degree angle.
I'm at my elbows and hold the paddle above your head. And that would be a well-sized blade for you to use, or well-sized paddle for you to use. I have no idea how to size kayak ones. When I bought mine, we were trying to figure out, because I'm not buying it for a kayak, I was buying it for our little 14-foot solo canoe. And I honestly hadn't been out in it, so I didn't know how much tumble home, which is the sort of roundness at the top of the canoe. I didn't know how far out I was going to need to go and stuff like that, because they're set up different from a kayak. So that's why I bought the adjustable one. We sort of ballparked where we thought I should be size wise, and then had, I think it gives me about 10 centimeters each, smaller or longer. It seems to work. It felt quite good when I got out in it. That's it for sizing. Maintenance.
So keep your paddles clean. If you come home from a trip, it's all muddy and stuff, clean it off. Repair some scratches, just especially if it's, you know, wood and water, that you'll end up with a warped paddle or broken or split paddle if you're not kind of keeping it water impermeable.
Correct. Actually, why don't you hand me that one? I'll show you how not doing maintenance. Yeah. So this is a paddle I made. Man, I was 14, 15, something like that. For those of you watching,
gonna whack me in the head.
It's got a few scratches on it. Mostly river made scratches. Although we've had some portages that, as you came up to the portage, a little low level water. This is a Varathane paddle. There is, what's the other one? Tung oil is the other, which a lot of, especially the smarter folks who paddle hard, apparently Varathane will give you, I haven't had it happen to me, but will give you blisters on your hands eventually, because the whatever, I make the assumption that the moisture gets trapped between the Varathane and your hand and causes that to happen. Lots of the higher end paddles are oiled in tung oil. It's also much easier to do the maintenance on that. For me, I can put another coat of Varathane on this. It's going to look like crap. Just saying, it won't be nearly as pretty. Or I can strip this and put tung oil on, which I have in my list of, if I am ever sitting around picking my nose for an entire weekend. Yeah. So we'll see what happens, but that's the idea behind it. You know, repair your scratches so that the water doesn't get into your paddle, however that needs to happen. And then storage?
Storing dry and out of the sun, ideally. Sunshine, just heat and things may cause your paddle to warp. And trying hanging them up so you can see that ours are hung in the living room. And
the ones, and that
much
we keep
to my
downstairs.
Chagrin, because it's my end of the couch. And every time I move around on my end of the couch, I whack a paddle.
But if you store them in a corner, they're going to get warped.
Warped, or Tim mentioned earlier, like if you accidentally knock it over, then you've got scratches.
And yeah, lots of noise. Yeah. And so, also sun is, UV is not your friend with most of your camping gear, period. So, and probably the most important thing of all of this, take a spare with you. Something will happen. Something, whether you leave one behind, which we somehow are too less than we used to have. I don't know how that happened. Or heaven forbid, you know, you get into, if you're river paddling and you go through like a little swift or something like that, and somehow it gets jammed in between two rocks and snap, you know, especially the lighter, like Thomas's is a pretty light paddle. That would be very poopy. Mine's a lot more bomb proof. It would really suck because paddling with just a shaft isn't going to do much for you. Just saying, you know.
Going to take you a long time to get anywhere.
Or if I've heard of people too, where they went to try to reach out for something and the paddle slipped out of their hands. There's your paddle floating away from you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, paddle.
So take a spare so you can do something when you're sans paddle.
Well, I think you've actually donated a paddle to somebody too who
yep.
lost or broken a paddle.
Yep. All right. So today's special thing is we're doing a giveaway. We're going to do a draw. We've been talking to this very cool dude, Josh. It's called the Portage Pal. So for those of you that have spent time in a canoe and going from lake to lake, one of the joyful things of going from one lake to another lake is carrying all your crap. Paddles in particular, paddles, fishing rods, anything that's they're unwieldy when they're long like that. Josh has made 3D prints, this super cool thing. It's called the Portage Pal. It holds your paddles, it holds your fishing rods, it holds your PFD, and it's got a handle. So you can literally have your canoe on your back and be carrying all your stuff, and it's not all going all over the place and trying to trip you up and do all the things. It's very cool. I'm very excited about this because I can't believe nobody's ever come up with this before. I would say let's have a draw for it. Shoot us an email at hi@supergoodcamping.com. That's hi@supergoodcamping.com. And we'll do a Google random generator, and we'll pull one name out of the hat, as it were. Give us what three woods did we mention that most wooden paddles are made of? That's three woods. Go back and listen again. Just saying. Yeah, and we'll draw one, and we'll get it shipped off to you. Let's say you've got until May 1st, 2 weeks, to get that into us. And yeah, I'm excited. It's so cool.
Yeah, so that's you need to email, because we don't get enough emails.
We don't.
And it's hi@supergoodcamping.com. That's hi@supergoodcamping.com. And that's it for us for today. We will talk to you again soon. If you would like to reach us, you know our email. And also, if you want to be in the draw for the Portage Pal, yeah, I have to email. And that's before May 1st. And otherwise, check in with us on all of the social media. So we're Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and you can always watch us on YouTube and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We would love to see you there. And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
Bye.